الله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفشوا السلام بينكم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وليبقي على خطيئتك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers in Islam, it is only through the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has granted us this beautiful deen. An integral part of this deen is akhlaq, character. And it's such a part of our lives that Allah has mentioned some part of it in the Quran. For instance, the ayah that was recited, Allah is teaching us how to enter our houses. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَعْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Before you enter your own house, seek permission and make salam. When we make salam, when we enter our homes, that salam is an indication to the people in the house that you are at home. You may find some people busy with something in the home, and because of parda, etc., it is not right for us to look at that situation. So by us making salam loudly, there is an indication that somebody is entering the home. And also, this is a means of barakah entering the house. And when we leave the home also, we should make salam, because this shows that now we are leaving the house, we are not anymore in the house. Afshu salam abaynakum. In the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that make salam am amongst yourselves. When the sahaba should meet each other, they should greet one another. It is a sign of muhabbat, sign of love. But today the converse happens. If we have a problem with somebody, we see him coming this side, we turn our face the other way. If we do not want to speak to somebody, then we try to avoid him. Yet this salam is such an act, such an ibadat, that once when a person came into the majlis, a sahabi came into the majlis of Rasulullah ﷺ, and he said, As-salamu alaykum. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, Ashara. A second person came, he said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So Rasulullah ﷺ replied, Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, and he said, Ishroon. A third person came, he said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah ﷺ replied the entire salam, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And he said, Salasun. The sahaba were those people who loved knowledge and inquiry. So they saw this act with Rasulullah ﷺ. They asked, O Rasul of Allah, what is this we have seen? So Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that the first person came, he mentioned the first words of salam, he got 10 rewards. The second person came, he mentioned the two words of salam, he got 20 rewards. And the last person came, he mentioned three words of salam, he got 30 rewards. So this salam that we take lightly, it is something, especially in this time and age, where we have been told by social media, by other means, that do not mix with one another, do not meet one another, do not speak to one another, do not come close to one another. We look into the ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. In these circumstances, what was the lifestyle of Rasulullah ﷺ? The command was, spread salam amongst you. That doesn't mean now that if I see a person and the social media told me or the government told me that I must stand far, I mustn't greet the person. We take it, no, if I greet the person, then something is going to happen to me. So that brings me to the second topic that is going to discuss today. Amlik alayka lisanak. control of the tongue. More than the pandemic we're seeing today is the pandemic of the misuse of the tongue via the thumb. The misuse of the tongue via the thumb. What I'm talking about is a person's dignity, honor, respect can be destroyed in a few seconds. We receive a message. Before it was ghibat, lies. Let me tell you something about lies. Lies is such a thing that when a person speaks lies, the effect, the imprint is on the heart. The effect is on the heart. And once it becomes habitual in doing this, then that lie becomes mixed with futile talk. Person speaks one lie, then he has to speak more to cover up that one lie. Then to cover up the second lie, he has to speak more. And then he engages in this futile talk. La khayra fi kathirin min najwahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that there's no khayr, there's no good in excessive speech. Excessive speech leads to 20 conditions. And from this we're going to discuss a few. The first is of which we're going to talk about is lies. Now we find that before it was lies that we speak to one another. We hear a lie, that lie is taken from one person to another person. I remember in school we should play a game. Somebody should whisper something in the next person's ear. And that person should whisper it into another person's ear. And like that, third, fourth, fifth person, sixth person, tenth person. At the tenth person, we ask what you heard. What was said to the first person and what the tenth person heard was something else. Completely different. So similarly, we find that this lies that are spoken, we take it very lightly. Sometimes a person comes to our shop and the person says that, give me a discount. So the cost of the item is 50 rand. But you say, wallahi, this thing cost me 75 rand. I'm selling for 100. It cost me 75. You can take it for 75. Immediately, the transaction becomes haram. The earning becomes haram. Because we have spoken lies, all you have, could have said is, take it for 75 rand. There's no use speaking lies and telling him, it cost me so much, and I'm giving you so much. The best price I can do for you is 75. So there's subtle ways of speaking lies. Sometimes what happens is employer-employee relationship. The employee did something and he's confronted by the employer. And the employer says that, did you do this? That to save his job, he speaks lies. He covers himself up. Can be converse also. The employee is asking for a raise. The employer has the means of giving the raise. Say, wallahi, I can't give you a raise. It is not in my capacity. Whereas, it is possible to make it easy for the other person. So this lies, when a person becomes habitual, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorizes him as a liar. La'natullahi ala al-kazibin. Allah mentions in the Quran that the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon those people who speak lies. Now, today we have taken lies as such a thing. Especially, we find that just yesterday a person phoned. And the complaint was that the husband has left me and he has left me with nothing, basically. What are my rights? And the issue was that for 4 years he lived a life of lies. Lie upon lie. Where he was engaging himself with a third party and living as a married person to that third party, while this married woman, the woman he was married to, was fed lies upon lies upon lies. My dear respected brothers, this entire pandemic we are seeing is a pandemic that we feel that there's lies and truth mixed in it. More lies, the pandemic of lies is more than the pandemic that we are seeing today. Everything is one relating to another. And because we have been fed these lies all the time, you know, in school you should read a story, the emperor without clothes. The emperor was fed lies that we are stitching a beautiful set of clothes for you. And these clothes only an honest person can see. Nobody else. So the tailors went to work, making like they're stitching and they're taking measurements and etc. So everybody, the king wanted the people to think, I'm honest. So I must be, if I can't see it, I'm being dishonest. So these lies were fed all the time. Eventually the day came that you had to wear the clothes. So they made a big show of making him wear the underwear, making him wear the shirt, the gown. But he was, in reality, he was naked. So when he came out from the room, he was naked. So this is the effect of lies on the mind. That we all think in that direction, that this must be the truth. But in reality, we are looking at something that is lies. So this is the first harm of the tongue. When we speak lies, then we are not being trustful to ourselves only, but the people we are speaking lies to, when they find out that what we have done, the mistrust grows. That this is how this person in reality, this is his way of working and living. So my dear respected brothers, what is the cure? لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. When a person asks you a question, answer according to the question. Don't give a whole tafsir. Person asks you your name, for instance. You tell him, my name is Muhammad Saliji. I am from this shell cross. My grandfather is this person. My nani is that person. He didn't ask you all those things. When you start futile talk, then we just want to keep on talking and babbling. Sometimes we don't even know what we're talking. We just want to keep on talking. And with this talking that we are doing, we are actually harming our spiritual selves. That is one aspect that we need to look into as a society. That whenever I am confronted with a question or somebody asks me something, what is the most straightforward and clear answer I can give him? Rasulullah has one very outstanding quality was that he was a man of very few words. If a person came to him for advice, the advice was concise and relating to that topic. It wasn't something that was very so difficult to comprehend and understand that the man get confused after that. So my dear respected brothers, this is the first thing that we have to remember. And the other quality that the misuse of the tongue that is at the pandemic level today is ghibat. Ghibat is worse than fornication. Today when we receive a message on our phones, without verifying the man's izzat, honor, dignity, everything is stripped. Everything is taken away by the touch of a button. That's why I said today to safeguard the tongue via the use of the thumb. Because today we're not spreading ghibat with our tongues, but we are spreading it with our phones, with our thumbs. One touch of the button and the message is sent to all our contacts. Did we verify the information? Did we check up? Did we ask an alim that this is the message I have received about so and so, the alim of the locality? Please kindly look into it. People are talking like this. But no, today we are in the business of, if a person has some sort of honor, Allah has blessed him with some sort of wealth, then we say the best way is now let's bring him down. He's gone too high. But these things are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُزِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِيُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّن تَشَاءُ. In this pandemic what we saw, person that was completely lachar, got a contract, overnight became a millionaire. Before that what we saw, person that was a millionaire, market crashed, he lost so many billion and he became a pauper. So my dear respected brothers, this ghibat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that this ghibat is such a vice that it can destroy a person. It can completely destroy a person. Once Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha just mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about a sahabiya. So she said, that short one, those are the words. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if your words were taken and dropped into the ocean, it will spoil the entire ocean. And today, by means of our eyes, we make ghibat. Or some ishara we make. So that is ghibat. But we don't think about it as ghibat. Because it has been done all the time, it has become a normal situation in our society. So my dear respected brothers, this ghibat is a sin where it is worse than fornication. Once a woman came to a pious person and she said, Oh, the person told the person, I don't know if it was a hadith, I can't remember clearly. She said that I made ghibat. So the pious person told her, take a bag of leaves. From the door of the person you made ghibat about till your house, I want you to put the leaves. And next day, go and collect all those leaves. So the lady did that. Next morning she goes, all those leaves are blown away. So she goes back to the pious person and she says that I can't find any leaves. So he says, that is the effect of ghibat. What we have spoken about that person, it has gone in the various directions. There's no way you can bring that information back. But what we can do, if you made ghibat of somebody, what is the definition of ghibat? The definition of ghibat is this, that we speak something bad about a person, even if it's true. It is true. The story is right. He did do that, but we speak behind his back. Why? We are too coward to face him. We rather go another direction and spread the story about him than to face him and tell him, boy, you did wrong. Sort yourself out. No, but the nafs loves it when we see a person in distress, when stories are going around, somebody's daughter's izzat is gone. The nafs loves all that. The carnal desire is to look at all, to hear all these stories and gain some lazzat. Imagine on a day of Qiyamah when you're standing there and you see all your good deeds burning. Then you wonder, why are my deeds burning? Those people that made ghibat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause their good deeds to be burnt on the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected brothers, our vision is akhirat. Our vision is to gain the closest and the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This marifat is gained not just like that, but is the effort in that direction. We have to make such an effort, be it by the means of tabligh and da'wat, be it by the means of going in the khanka. We went to visit Tanabawan when we went for in Jamaat. Tanabawan was a khanka of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, one of Ashraf Ali Tanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. During his time, the people told us there that nobody had permission to talk. If you came for Islah, you were given, we went to see the room. The room was just enough for a person to lie down. That's it. And he must sit there and ponder about his life, what he wants to do with his life, and how he can make Islah for himself. And today, more than anything else, we need guides, people who are upright, pious, righteous, who can guide us out of the situation. The fitnas are so great around us that nobody can say I'm safe. Nobody can say that I can circumvent this fitna myself. We need, just as how we need medical help when we get sick, we need spiritual help because we are all spiritually sick. So this marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it comes? By us striving and making mujahada. Mujahada on the nafs. When you go out in the path of Allah, what happens? You have to sleep on the floor. You have to eat the food that comes. Or you have to prepare your own food. Nafs does not like that. But you're making mujahada on your nafs. When you're sitting in the khanka, also there, you have to sleep on the floor. Bring your life onto simplicity. And whatever the hazarat are saying, we have to listen and bring it into our lives. So this mujahada, when we see things that are contrary to Sharia, if we have the urge of speaking lies, then we have to think to ourselves, may Allah is watching. If we have the urge to make ghibat, then we have to think to ourselves, may Allah is watching. So this marifat will come when we're taking out sins from our lives. As we take out sins from our lives, the heart becomes cleansed, the blackness is removed, and the love of Allah and His Rasul comes into our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of making our effort in that direction. And we should try and bring this sifat into our lives. This salam is such a simple thing, but the barakat and the reward is so great. To stay away from ghibat, such a simple thing. That, keep quiet. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he had the urge of speaking, should take a pebble, put it in his mouth, so he doesn't speak. So we have to bring these sifat into our lives. We bring these qualities, Allah will change the outward conditions. Allah will bring better conditions about us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.